Some of you may be aware, I'm sure some of you are not, I have spent a lot of time in the Middle East, but particularly in Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, kind of getting my bank, just a little ways in there, Egypt, and was blessed with the opportunity to go into the Holy Land, they call it, and into the surrounding area. And that was a good experience. When you're working in Saudi Arabia in those days, you could go to Jerusalem, or the nation of Israel, as it is actually where we were going. If you were leaving the country for good, or if you were going away for 3 or 4 years, you could go there. But you could not go into Israel and come back to Saudi Arabia. They did not allow that. So you talk, everyone just about on their way out would go through the area. I was impressed by several things when I was there. I guess you have to conjure it up in your mind, that everybody does, what Jerusalem, and if you have been there, what it looks like, what the area looks like, and where Jesus walked, and you see plenty of film and that sort of thing. But the thing that amazed me it was the smallness of it. You know, like, you thought it was like a murder pattern around it. The smallness of the city of Jerusalem, particularly, you really didn't even have to hire a taxi if you didn't want to. If you had a big full-time walker, you'd get a lot of steps in and see most of the city. So when we're looking at where Isaac traveled, and that's what we got, probably his should be called moves. He didn't do like Abraham. He didn't run all the way up in Mesopotamia and come all the way across and go down to Egypt and come back around. He did some moves, I guess we call it, in the general area of what's called Palestine or the Promised Land. And so what you have in front of you says the journeys of Isaac. Okay, we'll call it journeys. But if you'll notice on the handout, there's actually two different ones to look at. The one on top gives you what it looks like from an airplane looking down at it. You see the Dead Sea and see God in the Jordan River for clearly there in the middle. And I searched a long time on the internet trying to find a better map that I have on page 3. Look over on page 3. I couldn't find it. I mean, I saw all kinds of maps of the Promised Land, Palestine, and Jerusalem surrounding the area. I couldn't find one that did what I wanted it to do this morning. One thing, they're very, very complex, most of them. So you don't have a general area. And then also you get maps of what it looks like now. Or you get maps of what it looked like during the Egyptian the travels out of Egypt and those times. Or even going all the way back to the time of Shem, Ham, and Jacob and those sorts of things. What I wanted us to do is try to focus on what it looked like when Isaac was doing his movements around in that area. I've got a handout that I'll give you towards the end of the class, and then ask you to take it home with you. I've been promising discussion classes. This is a factual class. How do you teach geography without being factual about it, or teach travel in the geographic area without being factual? But there's certainly, as we talk today, you'll see some spiritual things that we need to keep in mind, and we will offer the opportunity anytime you want to raise your hand and say, hey, let me take something about this spiritually, or I never noticed this kind of thoughts. We'll have those discussions anytime you want. All right? And don't want to just lock us in too much so we can't feel free to talk in class and bring up some points that might be missed, and certainly there's a multitude of those that I probably missed. Okay? All right, but the map you have in front of you says connect the movements of Isaac. I tried to do that, so it's difficult, I'm telling you. When you read the Bible, follow along in the Bible, you say, okay, he's here in Gerar, okay? And then he went over to, we're number 2 on there, Beersheba. What you don't have is you don't have a period of time sometimes. Did he just go over there and stay for a week or two? Or did he go, any of these places I'm talking about? Or did he stay there for a long while? Some of these places he lived there. So you connect that according to the reading of the scriptures, it's kind of a difficult process. We might want to, it's a good exercise to try to connect the movements. And the numbers that I have down there is my interpretation, or actually part of Smith's Old Testament studies. This final map that I came up with is not legible very much. The word is on the right side. probably can't read it, but it does have the numbers that generally don't exactly coincide with the numbers on this map here. So hopefully we can look at this map and talk about it pretty well. Okay. I'm going to just read them out, Matt, and we'll go down the rows if you don't mind. We'll start with Jerry. Jerry, you might as well do that. And just pass it to the next person, and then I'll give you the scripture that we need to read and get some background, okay? If the next person doesn't want to read, I should have had a list of the reading. I know that's a better way to do it. But if you will, just say, the next person, if you don't want to read, I'm just going to hand it to the next person and say, okay, you. And then if they don't want to read, they say, you. All right, here we go. All right, first reading, we're going to get the background straight in our mind. This is a review for all of us, I'm sure. Genesis 17, verses 15 through 22. Genesis 17, verses 15 through 22. Jerry, did you read
that? Then God said to Abraham, as for Sarah, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarah, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her and she shall be a mother of nations. King of people shall be from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abram said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Then God said, no, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful, will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. For my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you this set time next year. Then he finished talking with him, and God went up from Abraham.
Okay, so that's the basic background, the promise of Isaac's covenant. Okay, and then the next reading will be from chapter 20, verses 1 and 2 only. Chapter 20, verses 1 and 2. Who will read that for us?
And Abraham journeyed from there to the south, and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur, and stayed in Gerar. Now Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah.
There we go. All right, there's, and I can't say Gerar, it may be Gerar. Who knows? Okay. We're talking about how they pronounced it in those days, and it probably has changed 100 times, 1,000 times. This is English translation, we'll admit it anyway. So either you want to call it Gerar or Gerar, either one is fine. And but that's the first place that we have mentioned in the listing as the places that he traveled. I believe he called Gerar. That was his birth, and the rejection of Ishmael also listed there. We didn't read that, but that's the promise. That's the first time the promise been reiterated. All right. And then I read it about that. Okay, then let's read now chapter 21, verses 1 through 13. Chapter 21, verses 1 through 13. Who's that? Okay, it's no problem with it.
The Lord gave Sarah as he had said, and the Lord gave to Sarah as he had promised. Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, and to him Sarah bore him Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children, yet I have borne him a son in his old age?
That's the confirmation that this is the seed, that Isaac is the seed that God has been promising. Now, his name is Lackey, but there's also some different views of what that means. If we say somebody laughed at us, that makes us kind of angry. I'm laughing at you, or that'll kind of hurt your feelings at least. But this laughter can also mean, and in some places it seems like it does mean, joy. It's joy, you're laughing, you're happy. And that's what Isaac also, the name of Psalms, is translated that way. Okay, next is chapter 22, verses 1 through 18. No, wait, excuse me, I'm missing one. And this is about the king of the Lord. Let's read, whoever's reading that, start off above. We'll read a little bit about that. That's 22, you're in 21. Never mind, hold on, we'll read that later. All right, go ahead and read 20, verse 22. And what did I say, 21? 22 verses 1 through 18.
22,
1 through 18. This is what the Moriah, Mount Moriah.
Sometime later, God asked Abraham, and said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain. I will show you. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servant, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But an angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me, your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram. Caught by his horns, he went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day, it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time, and he said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed.
Okay. Focusing on in this reading, we read it before when we were looking at Abraham's faith and the events that he described here. But just to stop and think a minute, what was going through Isaac's mind? He's asking, where's the sacrifice? He's obedient. That's a characteristic he has all through his lifetime. He's obedient. He's also dependent upon and faithful to his father, isn't he? And his mother. The age that he got married, I think, she must have had something to do with it, 40 years ago, but anyway. He was honoring his father and mother all the time. And then he was getting the honor the glory of God too by obeying and believing Abraham.
Mm-hmm. I heard somewhere, and I don't know how true that is, but that Isaac most likely was old enough that he could have fought his father.
Yeah, I think some say he's 30 years old. Anybody have any other feedback on that?
Elijah was
good to be 15, 16 years old. He's much older than that. But yeah, but the point is, even if he's 40 years old, he's still honoring father and mother. So, well, at some point, now we don't have the full discussion, I don't think, here, because his dad then turns to his father, turns and ties him up, right, to the altar. So there had to be some discussion, I would suspect. And probably, I would suspect that Abraham shared with Isaac. God said he's going to bless me through you, so you're not going to die hard. You'll be raised from the dead. You know, we've got the indications in the New Testament passage also. Mm-hmm.
Another indication in here of Abraham's faith that is oftentimes overlooked. Say to him, you wait here with the donkey, and I am the boy who will return. He'll come back.
That's good. Boy. I forgot that point.
You see, he knows what he's supposed to do when he gets up there. He has enough faith in God's promise that Isaac is going to be, the fulfillment of the promise that I don't know what's going to happen up there, but we're coming back.
Yeah, that's the kind of faith we need sometimes. Yeah, Abraham's faith is that it is. Yeah, he's called the father of the faithful, so he's faithful to do it. And then Isaac has some of that transferred from his dad.
Almost all of these important Old Testament stories are foreshadowing what is to come. And you may have been planning to get into this, but Mount Moriah is the place where one day Jerusalem would exist. And Jesus would be identified on one of the very hills around the city, quite possibly.
Right.
We don't know that for sure, but why would God take him all the way to this hill and not have it be?
Same general area, anyway. And here, back to the smallest, I'm sorry, I'm
not really good. But just as Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son, God would, at a future time, sacrifice.
I've got a handout on that. I'm going to give a types and shadows handout that shows some possible types and shadows of Isaac and comparing it to Christ, the sacrifice. Be willing to sacrifice the Christ actual sacrifice. I'll give you that pass that up now, I guess.
It's always been interesting, all the places in the Old Testament where it was a symbolic of something you've done.
Yeah, and that in the types of shadows chart that here we have here, there's several things that you can do. But that's a good point. As that's being passed around, let's go ahead and read the next passage here. I heard this is here as the introduction kind of thing. And let's read, 25, verses 1 and 6. This is Abraham's confirmation that Isaac is the right one to take that home, to be the first. 25, verses 1 through 6, and you got that?
Abraham replaced another wife whose name was Ephraim. He bore to him seven grand doctrine.
Just like some other names.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Thank you.
We talked about that earlier. It doesn't matter. This is some other folks.
Ishmael, Jephthah was the father of Sheba and Dan. Abraham left everything he owned to Isaac, the father of the living. He gave
made you read all that so we could get to that one verse.
Okay.
Thank you for bearing with us. All right, the one verse. So, what did it say about in verse, the last verse that just read, verse 6?
Gift to the son of the
Father. Actually, I mean, the first five. Back up in the
Abraham left everything he owned.
Okay. Now, he didn't leave everything. He didn't give everything to Isaac, but he's leaving everything. His estate kind of a blessing. He blessed him and said, you're the one who's my firstborn, and you're the one that's the son of promise. So that's the place where Abraham affirms that. He is the son of promise. Okay, then let's look at 26. Now we're getting into what Isaac actually did. 26 verses 1 through 3. Yes.
And there was a famine in the land, beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Persians, unto Gerar.
Was it 26? You said you read the right verse. I'm just wondering if you said Persians. Maybe translations.
Philistines. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in the land that I will be with thee, and will bless thee, for unto thee, and unto thy seed, I will give all of these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swore unto Abraham my father.
Great. Now, what did the Lord tell him to do? You know, if he followed that, what his dad's example was, what would he have done? He would have packed up and went to Egypt because his dad did that. But the Lord told him, no, stay where you're stay, and then he does do some movement in the general area, but he doesn't make the long journey down to Egypt. So he was obedient to that. Let's see. And then next was 26 verses 6 through 16. I'm just pulling these out to count them back. Okay. 26 verses 6 through 16.
So Isaac stayed in Hebron. When the men of that place asked him about his wife, he said, she is my sister, because he was afraid to say she is my wife. He thought the men of this place might kill me in the temple, Rebecca, because she is beautiful. And Isaac had been there a long time, and Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked down from the window and saw Isaac, blessing his wife Rebecca. So Abimelech summoned Isaac and said, she is really your wife. Why did you say she is my sister? Isaac answered him, because I thought I might lose my life on account of her. Then Abimelech said, what is this she has done to us? One of the men might well have slept with your wife, and you would have worked guilt upon us. So Abimelech gave orders to all the people, anyone who loves this man or his wife, Isaac planted crops in that land, and the same year reaped 100-fold, because they were blessed. The man came to Jesus' world, continued to grow until he became very wealthy. He had so many flocks and herds and servants that the Philistines came to him. So all the wells that his father's servants had made under his father, Abraham, the Philistines stopped out 4 months ago. Said to us, we are away from us, we have become too powerful for us.
Okay, so we have the dealings with Abimelech, and that'll be for several different events that are coming up now. 26, 17 through 29. Let's continue there, because we need to get that. Next question, please.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the same Abimelech that went after Sarah?
Yes, I think it is. Do you have some insight into that?
No, I'm just thinking,
well, that's a good question. We're checking it out. There's two, at least two of Abimelech, so I didn't check that.
Abimelech.
Thinks it's his son. Okay, that's probably what he did.
Because I
would say,
didn't you remember the last time?
I know.
Last time,
these
guys, you know, the same guy's father.
What's going to happen, though, is they're going to have conflicts with Abimelech being the king of that area of Palestine. You know, I think the Bible says, in fact, I guess you consider, if you look at the map, see Gerar, you see under that Esek and Sitna, and Rehoboth. Okay. This whole area, in fact, was his domain, and maybe even further towards the Salt Sea, no better of Abimelech's area. And so he was definitely under the influence, Isaac was definitely under the influence of the leadership of that king. But the king bowed to his knees before God, you know, and he was doing things that the Lord was having him do. And he makes some covenants, and let's just skip on down, because I'm going to get too far into this to make any sense, I'm afraid. Beersheba, see that down there? Remember what was said, the word bear means? Bear don't mean what we say bear down there. Today, bear is something you buy in a beer jar. Bear means whale. Okay? In both Arabic and Hebrew. Beer, Sheba. And Sheba means the oath. There was an oath taking place down there, and then there was seven. There's seven lambs that are promised to verify the oath in Beersheba. Okay, but back up where I was talking about Gerar, Esek, Sitna, and even down the Rehoboth are all in Abimelech's area of operations. And okay, let's go ahead and talk about those since we're in that area right now. Later on, he comes back. Isaac will come back to Gerar after that number 8 that's going to show up in the 8th area. You see it, the 8 above it, it looks like an 8. A little mess in the middle of it. Okay, when the 8th event occurs, he comes back to Gerar and winds up moving down south. And in the area of Esek and Sitna, there's some controversy occurs between the people of the land, and they start. There's some near war. And anyway, Abimelech comes back down there and he makes a treaty, a promise at the place of Beersheba. And anyway, that's the general area that we're focusing in on as far as movements are concerned. Now, just Mount Moriah, we kind of skipped over that. Number 3, you see there. And you mentioned Mount Moriah might be the general place the crucifixion of Christ, as very well could be. It also, though, is very, very close to anything in Jerusalem. You can see the dome. You can see the Dome of the Rock, where the place of controversy, the Arabs claim that is where Muhammad ascended, or some mystery that went on there. That's why they call it the Holy Place. Over the end, that's why they have a plan. Mount Moriah is very, anywhere in Jerusalem, you can live, you see Mount Moriah. Okay, and then Hebron, if you notice that, we talked about later on the burial of Isaac's mother in Hebron. Also, later on, Abraham was buried. Okay, and then eventually that will be a place of dwelling for Isaac. Okay, where are we in my terms of notes here? Okay, a couple more words about the name of those cities. Gerar, of course, the city under that is Esek, and that means strife. They did have strife there. And Sitna, which means hatred, it became the Philistines. Started hating Isaac and his people. And then the word Rehoboth means place of plenty. The rock, this is where Isaac eventually moved down and prospered. become very wealthy. And we read them off the list as well. They call it the place of fame. So, kind of skipped over to one of the places, and that's Bir Lahai. That's Isaac's home. We turn the page. This is just a, and this is from two different sources, so the numbers won't be the same. We may not agree in what the events are, but this is a 10-point a listing of what happened. Beersheba was Isaac's birthplace and early home. Mount Moriah, we know we've already talked about that. That's where Isaac was to be offered and then. And then Beersheba is a place that became Isaac's home with his parents. They lived in Beersheba, the place of the oak, the well of the oak. And then Bir Lahai, I have to phonetically write that down to even say it. Bir Lahai, how do you live? Right, let me try it. I wrote it down phonetically. Let me try it phonetically. Wow. That's a hard name to say. I think I can say it there better than I say it here. Anybody want to try that one once? The point is you, Russ. I'll do the beer part.
Lahairoi.
That, I think you got it.
Lahairoi.
Yeah. Yes. I think I had Lahairoi. But anyway, Lahairoi, we'll go with that one. But anyway, that's the place of the region. That's, this was Isaac's home after he married Rebecca. He was here at Bir Lahairoi that his sons Jacob and Esau were born. We're going to get into Jacob right here. And then Gerar, because there was a great famine in the land, Isaac moved to Gerar, and that's what God, the Lord told him to stay in the general area, in the country of the Philistines. All of that, those were the way it was. Jacob and Esau were born. Okay. And then in Gerar again, because there was a great famine in the land, Isaac moved to Gerar in the country of the Philistines. Is that a repeat? I'm going to read the same thing twice. Here we see. Okay, number six. Isaac, which means strife, after Abimelech allowed him to leave Gerar, Isaac did well at Isaac. But the men of Gerar were envious of Isaac's prosperity and contended with the herdsmen of Isaac and forced him to leave, forced him down south further, didn't it? And then it's to a place called Sitna. And Isaac dug another well, but again they envied him, drove him down south even further. Strove with him, Isaac departed. And then number eight, Then Beersheba, the Philistine king made a treaty, that's Abimelech, made a treaty of peace with him, and Isaac lived there many years. So that's the most part of where he lived. Isaac also renamed the site Beersheba after he had received a special revelation from the Lord. And so evidently that name place was, if this is correct, that place was called something else, but because it became Beersheba, it began to be talked about as Beersheba before. Okay, Hebron. Isaac spent his last days here, and at the age of 180 years, he died in the buried in the family sector of Methodist. Okay, now that's the same place, in fact, that their dad and his mother were there. Yeah. Okay. Now, And this may be nobody to you at all, but it does give you a good picture of how close the places are together. Now, if you go, this would be a good assignment, I guess I'll wait. But if you want to do it, you can welcome to.
Awesome.
Is to see how, if you go to all these places and assume only one trip, here to there, and down the other kind of face to back, you can do it in another part.
Yeah, it would be pretty fairly easy.
And I think a week to do it. I don't know. But I'm going to do it. I'm going to get the total miles. Then I'm going to go back and try to get the total miles again using the same assumption, only one trip, where Abraham went. We're prepared to mileage next week. If I forget that assignment, you guys get on it. But you're going to see how much further. You see why I want to call it hidden movements, where Abraham was traveling all over the place. Hope that's helpful somewhat.
So when you were over there, which one of these towns were you close to?
Oh, I didn't station there. I was just, when I came through, I went straight to Jerusalem. And then we went also over to Bethlehem and a few other places. Now, the places we recommend, don't jump right out of me in the Bible, they recommend it. Bethlehem, of course, was one, and we've traveled in and around Jerusalem a lot. And that's what was impressing me, is not as big as I thought it would be. You can walk from one place to another. There's another place that they think Colorado is located. And you can walk to that place very easily. It was, not to say it wasn't interesting, but a great thing to do, but I had to put it in my mind as being. It's from here to Oakland. It's not that big. Anyway, okay. Now let's look at the handout on the types of shadow. My grandson gave me this book long ago. Trey, he was 4 years old. I guess probably he didn't give it. His mom gave it. But he's handed me the book, and it's called Types and Shadows in the Bible. And I tried to make a copy of the book too. So I took him, this page and this page and pasted them close together like this. But anyway, I said, the book's not hard, it's the glue, so I don't know what that was. But this shows things that I'm talking about. Okay, let's run down these. Isaac, the son of promise. Christ, the seed of promise. Isaac's birth by divine intervention. Christ was born of a virgin. Jesus, the Messiah, brought joy and gladness. Okay, you can read those for yourself. What I'd like you to do is to take that and hand out the for me. And kind of mess that over. And next week, I'm going to pull some things out of them and we'll do the old, we'll do the old questions thing. This is kind of like use as an outline of Jonathan's book. And also use the fact of shadow for anything you may want to talk about. We've got to get into, we've got how many weeks? 3 weeks? How many weeks have we got? I said, it's the end of October, so there's 3 Sundays. Three more. So we've got to finish this up on Isaac and cover Jacob to get the rebate version. We can use, like, you know what I'm saying? Not enough time for that, but we'll get it all in, and hopefully we'll get a lot out of it. I hope we use the time. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you.